has given you a powerful way to access the authority that you possess.
Dr. Tony Evans explains why the process is easier than you think.
It's not by programs. It's not by doing some magical act. Prayer gains you access to the authority of heaven.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. They say getting things done isn't always a matter of what you know, but who you know. You'll see how that principle comes into play as Dr. Evans takes us to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, for today's lesson. Let's join him.
The battle of spiritual warfare is against angels because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and world forces that manage this darkness out of a sphere called heavenly places. And until we wage war in that realm, we don't wage war at all. We march in a parade. In fact, that's what a lot of people do every Sunday. They come to the Sunday parade. They march in the church. Then they march out of church, then they march back in the church because Satan will know that he never has to worry about them because they will get mad at the parking lot attendant, the usher. They'll get mad at the deacon and the elder. They'll get mad at the preacher and the mate, but they won't touch the evil one. The question is, how do we fight this war? You fight this war by the authority that has been garrisoned in Christ. And that means that if you don't know your identity in Christ, you have lost before you started. Because that means you have nothing to call upon when you need power in order to give you victory. Jesus Christ has granted Christians authority in heaven. Not our own authority, the delegation of his authority, which means it's dependent upon his power. God has given us a wardrobe of authority. 6 pieces of armor. 3 that you're never to take off, 3 that you are to pick up as needed. The first 3 that you are to never take off has to do with the belt of truth. There must be an objective standard by which you make pragmatic decisions. Righteousness, that your new identity in Christ, whereby you have been clothed with the righteousness of Christ, is to inform how you live. There is a carrying of our feet with the shoes of the gospel, the peace of God that should govern our decision making when we're operating according to God's truth, but then take up, that is, have close enough to get to you when you need it. Your shield of faith, your helmet of salvation, and your sword in the spirit. The only problem with those is that they can be a little bit amorphous. You might say, how do I get dressed? I'm being beaten. Satan is whipping me. He is destroying my family. He is capturing my children. He is destroying my mind. He is addicting me to this kind of influence that is controlling me, whether it's alcohol or drugs or relationship or what have you. And I understood what you said last week, that I have to have the right attire on if I'm going to be spiritually victorious. But my question is, how do I get dressed? Because God has given you a powerful way to access the authority that you possess. But he's only given you one way to do it. It's not by programs. It's not by techniques. It's not by formulas. It's not by doing some magical act. Some people would have you think if you say the right words the right way, if you go to this seminar, some of us are seminared out. We'd have been the 12 step, that became 24 step, that became 36 step. Now we're at a 150 step program and we still messed up. Not because there's anything wrong with the program, but because we must start at that which God has given us that works in heavenly places. And he's only given one thing. That's why after the discussion of the armor, Paul says in Ephesians 6, verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the spirit, and with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all saints. To put it another way, prayer gains you access to the authority of heaven. Prayer is what dresses you up. If prayer is not a dynamic, vibrant, consistent, encompassing area in your Christian life, you are a nude spiritual saint. He has not only supplied the attire, he has supplied the dressing code. To put it another way, prayer is the means that we access spiritual authority. And so the issue is, how does this work? In the Bible, demons are the fleee, not Christians. And without a dynamic, and I say this to my conviction and condemnation and to us as a church, you are walking on a spiritual treadmill, moving fast, covering no ground. We have made all kind of plans, spent all kind of money, made all kind of effort to improve our spiritual life, only to find out we've been sweating on a treadmill, gaining no yardage. How about trying it God's way? Everything you need to know is in verse 18. First of all, the significance of prayer. It's in the word with. First word, with. In other words, prayer is connected to his discussion of spiritual warfare. In other words, you can't get into verse 18 if you don't remember verse 10. You can't benefit from the power of prayer in verse 18 if you've missed out on the understanding of the battle in verses 10 through 17. In verses 10 through 17, he says to stand. What does stand mean? It means don't give up any of this new territory God just won for you. He doesn't mean passively stand by and do nothing. He says Jesus Christ has won a victory for you in heavenly places. He has raised us up with him. Those who were under angels have now been raised above angels with Jesus Christ. Don't let the devil take your territory away. And for many of us, he's taken away the territory of our joy. For many of us, he's taken away the territory of our peace. For many of us, he's taken away the territory of a happy home. For many of us, he's taken away the territory of confidence in life. He's taken us away from the authoritative position that God has given us. And so he says, with, that is in connection with the armor that I have described, make sure prayer is connected to it. But if you pray without a realization of your standing in Jesus Christ, then you won't pray right. What you do in prayer is make withdrawals, not make new deposits. God is not asking you to add to Christ. He's asking you to drop in and withdraw from the achievements of Christ. But if you don't know what Christ has done, then you're going to seek to add that which makes Christ look insufficient. He says, in light of this provision of God's armor, in light of the blessedness he's already given us, claim your authority with prayer. That's how you do it. You do it with prayer. To put it another way, without prayer, you don't get to use any of the things that God has granted you. With prayer, tied to the armor, Satan can't touch you. It's like the father and the son who were trying to outrace the prairie fire, and the prairie fire was catching up with him. And so they were going to be caught because the fire was moving so rapidly. And so the father and son got off the wagon. And as the fire raced to them, he dug a little ditch and set fire in a circle around him, his son, and the wagon, and burned a big space. He set on fire a large space where he and his son stood. As the fire came upon them, the fire raged in front of them. The son said, Dad, we got to get out of here. He said, no, son, stand. He said, but Dad, the fire. He said, son, trust me, stand. Yeah, but we got to run. He said, no, we don't, son. All you got to do is trust your father and stand. How come I'm going to stand when I'm surrounded by fire? Because, son, this place where we are standing has already been burnt once. I just set it afire. There is nothing left. All the fire can do is come up around us. It can't touch us, because once it's burned once, it can't be burned again. Jesus was burned once. And if you stand on Christ and his accomplishment on the cross, you can't be burned again. But we want to try to outrun the fire. We want to try to beat the evil one. And he says, stand on what Christ has done. How? With prayer.
Well, Dr. Evans will return in a moment to continue this discussion on how you can stand on the sacrifice of Christ. So stay with us. If your stand for Jesus has included too many falls, you can take some important steps toward change with the help of Tony's teaching collection called Spiritual Warfare, one of the most popular series we've ever offered. And right now, for a limited time, we're also including a copy of the helpful book, Winning Your Spiritual Battles, a handy pocket reference that perfectly complements what we've been learning today. We're offering the book and all 12 of these powerful lessons, both on CD and as digital downloads, as our gift when you make a contribution to support Tony's ministry here on the air. Without your help, we wouldn't be able to continue bringing you our program each day. So we want to take this opportunity to express our appreciation. Visit us at TonyEvans.org or call us at 1-800-800-3222 before this special offer runs out. Make a contribution, and we'll respond by sending you the book I mentioned, the CD series, and access to the downloads. Again, all the details are waiting for you online at TonyEvans.org. Or call us at 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our team members help you. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Dr. Evans will come back right after this.
It's Beyond a Sunday Sermon, a chance to really dig into the Bible and the kingdom in a new way. Anytime and anywhere, because it's all online. The Tony Evans Training Center. In-depth courses on all kinds of topics. Cultural transformation. Intro to expository preaching. Jude, John, Hebrews, Old Testament, New Testament, and so much more. These aren't sermons. They're teaching courses to help you engage, understand Scripture, and not just to hear about, but to explore the kingdom of God on your own. Find out more at TonyEvansTraining.org. TonyEvansTraining.org.
Napoleon was trying to conquer the world doing his regime, and one day, the story goes, he was looking at a map, and he was stifled because on the map, on his wall, was one red dot. Napoleon is recorded to have said, if it wasn't for that one red dot, I could own the world. The one red dot was the British Empire. That was the one place he couldn't conquer. Satan is a lot like Napoleon. He looks at the cross. He says, if it wasn't for that one red dot. I mean, I would have had this thing if it wasn't for that one red dot. If God hadn't become a man and entered into time and space, if it wasn't for that one red dot, I would have had him. But you got away from him because of that one red dot. The blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross gave us victory over the evil one. Stand on it. That I don't have to do what I used to do because I'm not who I used to be. Why? Because I'm in Christ. One red dot. It is your status in him. But for a lot of us, prayer is like the national anthem before a football game. It gets it started, but it has nothing to do with what's happening on the field. Yeah, we pray. You know, we pray, Lord, bless me today as I go to work, you know. No connection with what's happening on the field. Lord, bless this food that I'm about. No connection with what's happening on the field. Why? Because it's not tied to spiritual warfare and it's not tied to the armor. So then what is prayer? What is it? How can we make this thing called prayer simple? Let me tell you what prayer is in just a short clause. Prayer is simply communication with God. That's it. Communication with God. You say, well, now give me something deeper. Now, that's the problem. We want to get so deep, we don't know what we're doing. But if prayer is communication with God, you need to know something about the God you're communicating with. We give great prayers to a puny God. We give great prayers to a miniature micro God. We've got this great need and we take them to this impotent God. And because our God is so small, our prayers are so weak. Paul assumes, based on his teaching, that we are aware of who God is. But because we are biblically ignorant of God, we are ignorant in prayer. And if you're ignorant of God and therefore ignorant in prayer, you're not praying, you're doing religious chattering. And a lot of us are chattering, not praying. We want to rub Aladdin's lamp, and what we want is this magical genie to show up to service our needs. That's not prayer. Prayer is not getting God to conform to me. Prayer is getting me to conform to God. And most of our prayers are spent on our knees telling God what we want him to do for us. Now, it's not wrong to make your request known unto God, but you best make sure that if you're going to God to tell God what you want him to do for you, that what you're wanting him to do for you is that which he wants to do for you. Because if you're praying to God to do for you that which what God does not intend to do for you, you're wasting a lot of time and energy when you could be praying about something he will do for you. And so ignorant praying, that is non-bibliocentric praying, which means that you need to know a little bit about the revelation of God, will leave you empty in prayer. Do you know why you have not added a new line to your prayer lately? Same thing, every day, every morning, every night, can quote it with you. Some of you been saved for years talking about, now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul will keep. If I die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul will take. You know why that prayer hadn't changed? Because your knowledge of God hadn't changed. And if your knowledge of God is anemic, if your knowledge of God is weak, then your prayers will never get to the depth of enabling you to stand. If your knowledge of God is getting deep, then when those deeper problems come, you're going to go deeper to God because you've got to know how deep God is. And this is a well that doesn't run dry. The significance of prayer. Through prayer, you gain access to God's authority. Through prayer, you engage, catch this, the spiritual realm. Now, I don't know why God did it. I can't answer this question, but God decided that there were certain things he would not do apart from prayer. Some of you ask the question because you've asked me, well, if God's going to do what he wants to do anyway, why pray? Answer, he decided that he won't do certain things without it. Okay? It's like our kids. We say, they want some candy. We say, ask. Now, we intend to give it to them, but we won't till they ask. Why? Because only in asking are you showing dependency. See, without asking, you can do it yourself. What prayer does is it shows dependency and gains you access. Let me tell you the story. You don't have to turn there, but in Daniel 9, Daniel had a problem. The people of Israel were in captivity, and it was a big problem. So Daniel said in his heart in verses 2 and 3 of Daniel chapter 9 that he was going to take this mess to God. And he got on his knees and he bent down and he says, now God, we're in a mess. But verse 2 says before he prayed, he opened his Bible to the book of Numbers. Because before he prayed ignorantly, he wanted to find out what God had said on the matter so he could put God on the spot. Do you know that prayer gives you the chance to put God on the spot? When is the last time you back God up into a corner? You say, wait a minute, you can't back God up into a corner. Oh, yes, you can. Ask Moses. God told Moses, look, I'm going to destroy Israel. Moses said, you can't do that. Now, if you're going to tell God he can't do something, you better know what you're talking about. He said, you can't do that. I pray tell, why not Mo? why can't I do that? You can't do that because if you do that, then the nations all around Israel are going to laugh at us. And they're going to say that God was big enough to get them out of Israel, Egypt. He was big enough to open up the Red Sea, but he wasn't big enough to take them through the wilderness. And if you do that, your name is going to look bad and you will be an embarrassment among the gods. And so in your own best interest, God, I say that that is not a good idea. I think you ought to preserve your people. You ought to forgive your people. I think we can approach this another way. And the next phrase is, and when God heard Moses, God changed his mind. When's the last time you backed the God up against a corner? And you say, well, how did that really work? It really worked because Moses understood God's nature. And he understood why God has a wrath side. He also has a grace side. And if you can appeal to his grace, it'll overrule his wrath so that you get the benefits of grace and not that which you deserve is wrath. When you pray, you enter into a whole nother realm. You enter into the heavenlies. And anyone who has taken an airplane knows that the higher you get, the more orderly things look below you. We've been on the ground too long. That's why we can't see anything. We have the wisdom from below, not the power from above, where Christ is, in heavenly places. And so we don't see what God is doing. We only see, well, he shouldn't have said that to me. See, all we did was look below. We didn't take a flight to heavenly places. God will tell you that that person has a messed up need in their life where they need some grace, not just you to retaliate. But you only get that from up there. He says, pray for all saints. Remember, the Lord's Prayer is not my Father who is in heaven, it's our Father who art in heaven. Whenever you become a selfish Christian where you're the only one you are praying for, God's not going to help you because this is a family affair. Finally, the sphere of prayer. He says, pray in the Spirit. As long as you have secular thinking, then you'll have a secular result. You must have spirit thoughts. Now, how do you get spirit thoughts? He says they come combined with spiritual words. You can't pray like you ought to pray unless you know the word. 90% of many of our prayers could be thrown in the trash can because they have nothing to do with God's revealed revelation. If you don't know the word, then you won't be praying right, and God is not going to bless your prayer unless it's consistent with his word. So what you must do is be captivated by the mind of Christ, which comes in the spiritual words of God, so that you are addressing the Spirit's concerns the Spirit's way.
Dr. Tony Evans on how to access the authority God has given you. As we've been working our way through our current series on spiritual warfare, there's a lot of material we haven't had time to present on the air. So if you'd like Dr. Evans' complete look at this important subject, get in touch with us and request the 12-message CD collection, Spiritual Warfare. As I mentioned earlier, we're also including instantly downloadable MP3s of this series when you make a contribution toward Tony's ministry. And the CDs will come to you along with Tony's power-packed book, Winning Your Spiritual Battles, and our thanks for making this ministry possible. This special offer is only available for a limited time, so don't miss your chance to equip yourself for success in the life and death struggle going on behind the scenes of our world. Make your contribution today at tonyevans.org or let one of our team members assist you by calling 1-800-800-3222. Our resource phone center never closes, so there's no need to wait. Again, dial 1-800-800-3222. Our national defense system is always on the alert, protecting our country. But Dr. Evans says many of us don't apply the same logic to our personal weak spots. Tomorrow, he'll explain how grace can help reinforce your resistance to the enemy. Right now, though, he's back with this final thought for us.
I don't want to conclude our program without giving our listeners a clear opportunity to become a Christian. A lot of people can listen to Christian messages, but never have a personal relationship with the Christ who is the center of that message. So let me explain it very simply. You and I are sinners. We can't save ourselves. So God came up with a plan to provide salvation for us for free. He sent Jesus Christ, his son, to die on the cross as our substitute, validating his purpose by raising him from the dead. And so all you must do is come to Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and for the gift of eternal life, and he will give it away. He will give it to you if you come to Jesus for it, believing him to forgive your sins. Do that right now. God has already made provision through the death and resurrection of Christ. You just have to accept that provision personally. When you do, you are born again. You get to start life all over again. Why don't you respond right now by receiving Christ into your life?
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.